Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Morning, welcome. Well, the weather seems to be clearing. We've had a lot of rain, which we did need, but it's also brought down the temperature somewhat. I don't know if you felt that, Dr. Moch.
But it's very comfortable. It's a beautiful temperature. You know, there's this mindfulness in the park that I do at Huddle Park. I've been there for about 4 or 5 months, and the rain... there, and of course in the greater Johannesburg area, it's just magnificent. And parts of it, you could be in Ireland. You know that deep green fields of Ireland? And the ponds are overflowing, and there's mud in parts. And as I walk in, I just said, you know, I don't have to fly to Ireland and Brexit and all of this. I can just go to Huddle Park, and there's Ireland. But right. But the weather is lovely. It's there's a lot of cloud cover. It's not that humid. But you know... When Africa has rain, Africa's happy. You know, you can just see the joy. And we can see this in the figures of the GDP, gross domestic profit, come out this week, that we had bumper harvests, because last year we had good rains, and this year we're having good rains. And that's good for the country. It's good for Africa.
Except for Cape Town.
That's Cape Town.
They're going through a difficult time. The temperature yesterday was 34 degrees.
Wow. Yes.
And there's the water, you know, rationing. And I've got friends down there, and they say it's terrible. You can't bath every day. Yes. You've got a shower every second or third day.
In fact, our middle son, Shimp, who got married to Michael Zeef in December, they're coming up here to Johannesburg for 2 weeks, and their joke is they're coming to visit us so they can shower. Coming to shower. And he was here when I was sitting shiver, and he had a 20-minute shower. He said, this is just absolute luxury. Because there, as you say, it's just like, it's 10, 20 seconds, you know, just to wet. Yeah. But here we're having abundance of water with all its blessings, and as you see in Cape on is the power of rain, and why we have to pray for rain. And you know, we have this whole thing in the shuls with told, and I mean change it, you know, Rudageshim and all that.
Now just to get back, last week we were talking about Lamed Vorbniks, all those tzaddikim and tzaddikas who really made such a difference to the community. So there's one other doctor I want to mention.
Can I just, because you like posing questions, and I think this is a beautiful question, because we're going to speak about Hanukkah.
Right.
What is the link between Hanukkah and Lamed Vavniks? For the listeners, Lamed Vav is 36, because Aleph is 1 and Beis is 2 and Gimel is 3. Lamed is 30 and Vav is 6. So that makes 36. And in the Gemara, in the Talmud, in Sanhedrin and Sukkot, I looked this up, they talk about that these 36 people, in every age, they're around, they're extremely humble, and they keep the world alive. So that's the historical back. My question is, and maybe if they want, I'll take them out for a croissant and coffee at a restaurant here. But what is the connection between Hanukkah and the Lamed Vavniks?
That's a very good question.
Okay. Right, so now, the doctor you want to speak about.
The doctor, Shneur Levine.
Yes.
I'm sure you remember him. Many of our listeners will. He was the most unbelievable doctor. Mm. You know, there was so many people who he came to help. Mm. He never charged them. But I want to give you one case. There was a woman who has a little baby who was very... agitated and crying and the whole day and during the night, and she called Dr. Shneur Levine, and he said to her, don't worry, we'll take care of it. So what did he do? He came that afternoon and he said to the lady, look, tonight I want you to have a good night's sleep. Don't worry, I will look after the baby. Mm. And he stayed at that house right through the night. He actually changed the nappies. He actually fed the baby, bottled and fed, etc. And this woman had a good night's sleep, because that's what she was lacking. She was so getting so agitated. So that was Dr. Shneur Levine. But there are other instances with Dr. Shneur Levine.
Well,
I don't know if you know of him.
I would like to, you know, the listeners, if they could, just send a WhatsApp on who in their lives. I would prefer, I think, that someone has passed away, because once a Lamed Vavnik, according to what I read and commentaries, is once they know, they've done their duty, they lose that status. Second of all, they're extremely humble. They don't even know. That's an important thing. They don't hold position. They don't hold power. But they just are extremely righteous and giving. And... You know, for example, in the Chev I mentioned last week, there are, you know, when my mother was there for 2 months, I saw some of these nurses just, and you know, a lot of these women and men, they've got dementia, and they scream and they shout and they're highly demanding, and they just absorb it, and they just care, and they just come back, and just with love. So the love of Vavniks is a fascinating
idea. There's now another one I want to mention, but not in South Africa, who was in Israel, in Jerusalem. Yes. And that was Reb Aryeh Levin. They called him the Tzaddik in our time.
Right.
Because he used to visit all the prisons. Remember, before the state was formed, Israel was under the
British.
And, of course, the Israel was fighting for its independence. You had all those five different groupings, like, for example, the Palmach, the Haganah, the Stern Gang, the Irgun Zwei Leumi. We remember they blew up the King David Hotel, and so many British were killed there. And then, of course, to take revenge, the British started to round up and look for these fighters, you know, and they hung most of them, a lot of them. Mm. And Aryeh Levin would go into the actual prisons, get permission, and he would visit them, you know, to comfort them, because they know that unfortunately they're going to be hanged a day or two later or something like that. But he was unbelievable. And yet the British had a lot of respect for him, although, you know, he was a rabbi who came to visit these prisoners. And we have a texture.
The 36 one, just below.
Oh, 36 candles lit with Alter Shamus, Mike Luber.
Okay, Mike, if you would like to, you have won a cup of coffee and a croissant. Just get hold of Isaac and we'll make a time if you would like to. You're absolutely correct. 36 candles lit with Alter Shamus. We will go into Hanukkah just now. But if you, let me explain that on the night one of Hanukkah, you light one candle. Night two candles. Night three. Now, right up to eight. So if you add 1 + 2 + 3 + 4 up to 8, it all comes to 36. And that's Lamed Vav, 36.
Right.
And the connection let's call it a psychological, metaphysical level, is light. And wherever you bring light into the world, or light is often regarded with wisdom, with understanding. And that's what is we light up. And these Lamed Vavniks, according to some traditions, if there weren't them, the light of the world would not go up. There's another interesting one back that I think goes back to 36 something, what it is, I've forgotten. It's when Adam and Chava were born, a light came up, and it was 36 centuries until they brought about this concept of the love of God. But that's a bit of a side issue. But yes, it's amazing what we have in Yiddishkeit, is especially numbers, gematria. 36 righteous people, 36 candles on Hanukkah, both light up the world.
Right, and if you take 36 and you add it up, 6 plus 3 equals 9. And what is 9 in Hebrew? Emet, and the truth can never be destroyed. Mm. Because you take 9 and you multiply it by 9, 9 nines are 81. 8 and 1 is 9. Mm-hmm. 9 3 is 27, 7 and 2 is 9.
Yes.
Anything divided by 9, added by 9, doubled by 9, whatever it is, you will always get 9, which is Emet, is truth.
Who taught you that? That right. Must have been in your days in Cyril Dean, or
studying it.
It's a beautiful maths is also beautiful. When you get into maths, it's got a beautiful symmetry, and there's a truth to maths.
I'll come back to that in a moment. We're just going to take an ad break, and we'll be back, and we're also then going to talk about Hanukkah.
He's called the walking human encyclopedia, but here at Chai FM, you know him as Isaac Resnick. For a nostalgic walk down memory lane, catch Isaac Resnick Friday mornings at 9 a.m. And for the lowdown in the community, be sure to stay tuned for Talk of the Town, Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 Chai FM.
Now we're talking all about Hanukkah, and we had the correlation between Hanukkah and the love of Vavniks, which is 36. And of course, Hanukkah is the first candle is on Tuesday evening. And there are different customs. So we're going to put out questions to the listeners, and please, you can text us on 34519. You can apps us on 061-895-1019. Now, as far as the Midnagim custom is, we place the candle, you're facing the menorah, the Chanukiah, and you place the candles from the first candle from right to left. But when you light from left to right. But there are other minagim. I may be wrong. I think it's the Hasidim who do it the other way around. And then I'd like to know how the Sfardim do it as well, because I believe they have a completely different way as well. So if you do know,
so let's just, for some of the listeners that might not, you've got a menorah, and in the menorah you can ultimately put 9 candles, usually in the middle or the left.
The middle is the shamus.
The shamus. Now, so the shamus is like what they call the server. I think that's it. So with a match, you light the shamus, right? That's not counted as one of the.
No, it's not counted. Days.
Now, that one usually would stay on. So if it's the first day, you put a candle on the extreme right.
And that's,
you
light right, that's when you're facing, you're looking at the
middle. Looking at, yeah, when you're looking at the extreme right. The second day, you light the shamus, but you light the second night first. So it's on the left, and then end up on the extreme right.
Right.
And then, so like on the eighth night, you'll have 8 candles. You're right on the extreme left.
Right.
The eighth, the seventh, right to the first. Okay, down. That's our custom.
Right. Now, I want to also bring in this Hanukkah thing. And, of course, the wonderful news that we just heard about Trump recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And, of course, that's where it all started. And, unfortunately, this is 50 years too late. Because in 1967, when they took the Kotel and they took Jerusalem, there and then they should have declared Israel, the Americans.
Who was the president then? Was it Johnson?
Johnson.
That was part of the Vietnam War as well. Yeah.
They should have declared Israel, Jerusalem as the capital. Mm. Now, why I mention this is because, don't forget, the temple was in Jerusalem. Mm. Now, if you go back 3,000 odd years when King David wrote the Book of Psalms, 90% of the Psalms always talks about either the city of Zion or mentions Jerusalem, because don't forget, he was going to build a temple in Jerusalem. Mm. And if you go back even further, when Abraham was going to sacrifice Yitzhak, the Akedah, it was on the site where the temple is built. Mm. And there are other as well. When Jacob had the dream, when the angels were ascending and descending, it is where the temple was going to be built. Mm. So we do have the claim to Jerusalem, to what there were no other nationalities there except the Jews were the first in Jerusalem, and they built Jerusalem.
Yes. It's interesting that for a tiny country like Israel, it has, 6 million, 7 million people, an event like that is worldwide news and shock and revulsion. Also, we know who our enemies are, that's for sure. But it's amazing. Any other country, it will be back, the middle page. But here, front page, all the websites across the world, just a recognizing that Jerusalem is the capital and bringing a building called an embassy, but it had such huge symbolic. That's how influential we are.
Yeah.
Can I just mention what came to my mind? Also, 36, which yes, links up with the Hanukkah, is the word or,
light
is mentioned 36 times in the Torah.
Yeah.
How's it? Yeah. Come on.
All light.
Which committee organizes it? This is the hand of the Yad of Hashem.
And when you take countries like Canada, Australia, like Germany, Russia, even England now, Theresa May says, she doesn't accept this Trump recognizing Jerusalem is the capital of Israel.
But there's a deep psychological thing here. That why is there such a reaction worldwide? Jews, we're small, tiny little people. But what, have we pricked their conscience? At a deep, psychic level. I can't understand it. It's ongoing miracles. We don't want to go ongoing miracles. We'll talk about the miracle of Hanukkah. I'm sure you'll give us a little Shira. But I just sat back and I reflected and I said, here's a tiny little country. Right. But it has such influence. You have China that's 1.4 billion, India that's 1.2 billion. You know, United States that's 350 million. You know, you have Nigeria that's 180 million. Here's a tiny little country.
And you know, if you
does one thing moving the embassy and recognizing a capital, and what a world reaction!
You need a magnifying glass. Mm. If you take a map of the world to find Israel on the map,
yes, yes,
it is so small, surrounded by all those Arab countries.
Yes.
If you look at Saudi Arabia, you look at Lebanon, and you look at Jordan, and our little state of Israel can fit into the Kruger National Park.
Yes, before so 6 different,
so many times. Even Great Britain is bigger than the state of Israel.
Well, the state of Israel existed before 67 was, and I mean, the Kruger Park's not part of Mpumalanga. It's a tiny strip. That's where most of the Jews of Israel. I just stand back and, you know, I just laugh, you know, in a way, because I'm sure Hashem is just laughing at you know, it's another issue, you know, and to me, is they can't look at countries can't look at themselves and what their problems are. They have to have a common enemy, and because I think we're not only the ones, but we are conscious of the world. They want to almost rid that conscience. That's the way I read it. It's my personal view.
I'd like to know, what has the recognition of Jerusalem got to do with Indonesia, where they're having riots and they're demonstrating and burning flags and all that? And I mean, they're miles away. They had their own problems and everything like that. Or North Korea and all of them condemning. And look what's
North Korea's condemning.
Yes, as well.
I see North Korea.
Yeah, because naturally because of Trump, you see. So now we're going to take a break in a moment, and then I'm going to play a special song for my very good friend Ellen Davidovits. Ellen, I hope you enjoy this, and I wish you very well. You know, I know you haven't been well, but we wish you a frua shleima, and have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbat.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. We're talking about Hanukkah, and of course, just to mention that, strictly speaking, you should be using oil, but of course, that's not available to everybody. And of course, we have the famous delicacies on Hanukkah, the sofganiyot, and also the latkes. Mm. And of course, there's so many varieties today of the donuts, as we with sofganiyot, that, you know, in our days it was only a donut with possibly just jam inside or something like that. But today you get everything going inside, chocolates and apples and all different varieties.
Yeah, I heard something new this year. I was learning this, Rabbi Menachem Raff, from a hash a couple of weeks ago, that after you light candles on Hanukkah for about a half an hour, you shouldn't do really much work. You know, you should just, not quite like Shabbos, but don't light the candles and back onto your computers or whatever. Just half an hour, just sit around, chat, and talk about things. It doesn't always have to be about Hanukkah, but just make that half an hour a bit different. Don't just do it and then run off.
You know, Hanukkah is not a biblical festival.
Yes.
That's why you're allowed to do work and everything. But there's another thing with Hanukkah. You're not allowed to read by the lights of the lights of Hanukkah.
You can't get benefit.
You can't get benefited. For example, if you're lighting it on Shabbat, and don't forget, if Hanukkah falls out on a Shabbat, which it will, then you have to light Hanukkah candles
first
before the Shabbat candles, but you must make sure that the candles will last at least a half an hour into Shabbat.
Correct.
Then you light the Shabbat candles. And then on Motzei Shabbat, you first say Havdalah.
Mm-hmm.
You wait till it's dark, and then you light your Hanukkah candles.
Afterwards, yes.
Afterwards.
Yes.
And of course, let's put out the question to the listener, I'm sure many do know, is who was the high priest at the time when they had the revolt, remember, against the Greek Syrians, and when they had overthrown Palestine and it started to desecrate the temple. Then, remember, they found only one little cruse of oil, which they thought would last for a day, and yet it burned for 8 days, and that's how we got the Hanukkah lights, 8 days. So, please, if you do know, you can text us 34519, or APS us, as I said, 061-895-1019.
Any special Hanukkah places you've been to, or special memories of Chanukah?
Well, I've been to Chanukah in London. I'll bring in to show you next week. I won't tell you with who. We had Chanukah with a very, 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 very important person. That's the late, with Chief Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks and myself. And we went to Chanukah at this place, and he explained it all to the people that were there. Very, 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 very significant. Also, Chanukah in the United States. It is basically all the same, but the festivities are completely different there in the United States.
Yes.
You know why?
Why?
Lahavdil. They have what they call a Chanukah bush.
Mm.
Because, you know, Chanukah invariably falls out during the festive season for the Goyim, for the non-Jews, the Gentiles. So in America, a lot of them have combined the Chanukah licht with the tree, and they call it the Chanukah bush.
Yes.
So, you know, that's very foreign to us. You won't see it in South Africa.
Unfortunately, with marriages that are mixed marriages, they have the tree and they have the menorah, and they basically say to the child, you know, you choose.
Yes.
It just confuses. But have you ever flown overseas and you had to get onto a plane before night? How do you?
I always plan to go before 2 days before.
Yes,
if it's going to be a yontif or it's going to be.
Because all these questions and shilas come up, you know what I mean. Very interesting, but you know, for people, I think should speak to their rabbis about this. But as I understand it, even if you light one candle a day, that is good enough. It's what they call, when you light all the boys in the house light their candles, which is fantastic. If you've got like five, six men in the house and you've got five, six menorahs and you switch off the lights and you sit, that's a magical time. But that's what they call Mahadra Alam Mahadra. That's the highest level you can go to. When you light all the candles as per day and all the men in the house light it. Of course, women, if they live alone, must also light it. And say the brachas.
And of course, here you have, we'll come back after a break in a few moments, with the Lubavitch have organized these giant menorahs.
Yes.
If you go to Santon or you go near Kosher World. In the old days, remember going back years to Harrow Road outside the Hasidim Shul. So we're taking a break. We'll be back in a few moments.
Yeah.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
We're talking all about Chanukah, and of course, Chanukah for the children. Remember, they got to get Chanukah gelt.
Yes.
Mustn't forget that. And then also they play games, and they spin atop the dreidels as well. So these are some of the customs.
But this is what I think I would like to emphasize, is that half an hour after lying, that's when it should take place. It's a different type of thing. Make it different.
Yeah, let the whole family get together.
Because a lot of people, they light candles and they're back on their cell phones. Make that half an hour. And you know, often it falls in our summer holidays. And you know, we're on the coast, summer holidays. You know, it's also nice just for the family to get together and just to sit around and to, as you say, play with the dreidels or whatever play. But make it different. Make it a little different. So that it seeps in.
At school holidays already now, the schools have closed. So the whole family can get together. Whether you're going on a holiday or not, don't forget then to get. Take your Chanukah, your menorah with you and the candles.
Yes.
So that when you go down, whether you're going to the coast or wherever you are, you light Chanukah candles. Now, the other thing about Chanukah as well, that should Rosh Chodesh fall on a Shabbat.
How many Sefer Torahs do you take?
Not only that, it's the longest benching also.
Yes.
Because you've got to say the ordinary benching for Shabbat, you've got to add in for Rosh Chodesh, and you've also got to add in for Chanukah. We say the Al HaNisim as well.
Yes.
So we say Hallel as well. And, of course, the real reason why we put Chanukah lights next to a window is to publicize, let the public out there know the festival of lights.
Yes, so Baruch Hashem here in Johannesburg or even Cape Town or whatever it is, we can do that. But, you know, in some countries there's so much anti-Semitism. You know, people are scared to do that. But that's a side point. It's an important point, but a side point. But it is to publicize. But You know, Isaac, you've been around a few years. What is the message that Chanukah talks to you? I mean, yes, we must light candles and publicize it, but, you know, as I get to know the Torah world more and more, and you know, Torah more, I think all these festivals we have in and Shabbos, in Chanukah Purim, is what happens in our daily lives. And it's just an emphasis once a year. So let's say take Rosh Hashanah. What is that? It's all about saying that Hashem runs the world. So every day we must somehow bring that in, that Hashem runs the world. On Sukkot, what is it that's how we live? The world's fragile. For me, Sukkot is that life is fragile. And on a daily basis, in a way, we must recognize that life is fragile. Chanukah, that's what secularization, for correct. Example, is different philosophies that, you know, but you do, the Jews have been around 4,000 years. You know, when I was sitting Shiva, you know, and Shloshtim and Avelis, I said to people, you know, I don't have to wait for the scientific world to prove that Shiva is a fantastic psychological, social process. Because for 4,000 years, Chazal and people have been sharpening it and polishing. I don't have to wait. So when the Rabbonim brought around Chanukah, because you said it's a rabbinic decree.
It's a rabbinic decree.
There must be something deep that should be part of our daily consciousness, let's say. So for you, what is Chanukah?
It's light. It's light. It's light. Giving light to show the other nations,
yes.
You know, the correct way, the ethical way, the moral way, the giving the light.
Isaiah said, what? All the goyim. We read that Haftorah on Bereshit. Light. And to the nations.
Right. Yes. And you know, the Haftorah, there's a special Haftorah also for Chanukah, which you read on the Shabbat when it falls out. And it's also a prophecy, and it ends with the famous words, Chayin, Chayin, grace. It's from the Hashem. You got grace from Hashem. You know, for example, you mentioned Sukkot. You're living in a sukkah which is so fragile. It's just four walls made of some material and the palm branches or the leaves on top. The wind can come and blow it away, right? And that's exactly what it is. Take these modern buildings that they do today, the most powerful, built with structures and steel and everything. A wind can come and just blow them away. You've seen it all in the United States, all the tornadoes and the earthquakes.
The hurricanes.
They just collapse. So there is someone there controlling it.
But Chanukah is light, which is a beautiful idea that you know, one candle, one light can take away a lot of darkness.
Right.
And that's when you start having these conscious, you know, themes coming through your mind on a daily basis, is you must consider, okay, I want to bring Chanukah in today. Okay, it's not Chanukah, but today is Erev Shabbos, 20th Kislev, let's say. Is how can I bring light into the world? Smile, a random act of kindness. Doing something, phoning somebody. For what you did to this person before who's not well, you played a beautiful, bouncy record for. That is bringing light into the world. You know, these nations, I think, that against this Jerusalem, they're bringing darkness into the world, violence into the world. We are people that are defined by bringing light into the world. That's why we have these Dr. Levines, these Lamed Tzaddiks, is to bring light, not darkness. And so it's a battle between light and darkness, and I'm getting a bit philosophical here. But I like what you say. Chanukah is about light, and what we can do on a daily basis is bring light into the world.
Right. And by the way, when you light your Chanukah licht, you should have all the lights off in the room.
Yes,
it should
be
dark.
Yes.
Now, do you remember the old days we had what we call the box camera? It was a Kodak box camera, right?
This is slightly before my time.
If you go into a room which is pitch black, and you just take a pin, and say it's made of, say, paper walls, and you push the pin through that wall, you'll see, and outside the sun is shining, that light will come right through and light up that whole room. One pinhole of light.
Yes. Leonard Cohen, who recently passed away. You know, he wrote those beautiful hallelujahs and Dance Me to the End of Love. And one of his final works was the words I don't exactly, but what are the role of cracks? You know, when the cracks in something, what it does, it lets the light in. So even in our suffering, where there's cracks and we feel cracked, there's light.
And, there's always light at the end of the tunnel.
Okay, there's lots of jokes about that. Depends on oncoming train. And, you know, and you know, there's two people. One thinks that, okay, it's the end of the end of the tunnel. The other one says oncoming train. But the engineer says, you know what the engineer says? Who are these two people on the track? Get off the track. Get out of the tunnel. Because they're always problem-oriented. But this light is beautiful. And you know what's lovely is that build-up from one to two. And when you hit seven or eight, and as you say, with the lights off, and if there's a few men in the house, it's just a special moment. Enjoy it. Be mindful. Spend a half an hour sitting around talking and be mindful of that light.
And what about singing? The more or two.
Yeah,
when everybody sings in unison together.
Yes.
The more or two. Unbelievable. Your vine name, we can go on. Yep. And also, there's one more thing before we take a break. That if you go to shul, we light the candles between Mincha and Maariv.
Right.
So we say on the first night we say the Shecheyonu, but on the other two nights we only say Lahadnik Nel Shel Chanukah, and we say Ala Nisim. Then they light the candles, and then all the members of the shul sing Mor Otzu. But it's beautiful. So we're taking a break. We'll be back in a few moments.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. Just to remind you that Shabbat comes in at 6:15 at standard Johannesburg time. But the actual latest time for lighting candles is 6:33. The Parsha tomorrow is Vayeshev. And, of course, it's all about dreams, Joseph's dreams, and the butler and the baker. Of Paros comes into the next Pasha. And then Shabbat terminates at 7:27 p.m.
Isaac, do you have a dream? What's your dream? You know, you've seen so much in your life. If you had to have a dream,
Peace on earth, bringing
light.
You know what?
People could bring more light into the world as opposed to darkness.
I'm just thinking about it this morning, as a matter of fact. Thank God, I was around when the state was founded in 1948. It's now going to be next year 70 years, and Israel has never had one day of peace. Where they could actually sit down and know you didn't have to worry about keeping soldiers on the borders and the police. The IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, has to be on the alert 24 hours a day, 52
it's more, it's
weeks.
More than, because now they've got CCTV on almost every road and they have to have watch people watching it, being awake.
And I'll give you an example, 52 weeks in the year, so 70 years, there's never been one day when the Israel can say we've got peace.
1 minute, yeah.
1 minute even. Now, let me just give you an example. In 1973, when the 73 war broke out, the Yom Kippur War, it was a Shabbos. All the Jews were in Israel, were in shul, davening and praying. And then we were attacked, remember?
Yes, and I remember.
So even on our holiest day of the year, we still haven't had peace.
Yes, I must say that when that broke out, I was at Oxford Shul, and
the news came.
The first night of Sukkot, I think Rabbi Bernard, for me, gave his finest talk ever. And I listened to thousands. And I remember him saying, who are we if we didn't have Israel? Just those words. What are we if we don't have Israel? You know, if you just go back to this Ma'atzur, it's interesting that with most Jewish customs, there's an action, lighting candle. Before that's a brocha, and then there's food. And almost everything. And there's song.
There's song.
Song is a central part of Torah. Torah is not just, you know, just sitting there and learning. Even, I heard Rabbi Sack says, even when you're learning Gomorrah, there's a kind of a tune. There's a lot of music that goes through Yiddishkeit.
Well, when Jews came out of Egypt, Israel, didn't they break into song at the Red Sea?
Yes. Miriam.
The woman were playing the timbrels. But even earlier than that, if you listen, you read very carefully, when there were two sons who were born to, I think it was Esav. One of them was Jabul, and he played an instrument. He said he played a stringed instrument. So it goes back So yes. many centuries of singer-songwriter.
So music, and I think we haven't really, me and you, discussed music, but you know, if you really be mindful and you recognize, you'll notice that in the Jewish world, music is central. It's not just outside, you know, Leonard Cohen and Art, you know, Simon Garfunkel. It's in our shuls. It's in our homes. Our homes. We need song.
We sing. Well, the smirot. You sit around the Shabbos table singing. It's all over now. As a metaphor, when you mentioned music, I want to thank Murray Bloomberg. Very, very heartily thank you. He's just sent me a wonderful gift, a book on Jewish music.
Yes, Marie Lombard,
he's one of our listeners.
Oh, listeners.
One of our listeners. Somebody,
morning,
I've got
morning,
it.
Morning, morning, Marie. Yeah.
I'm going to phone you personally, but it's an absolute gem.
What's it about?
I'll show it to you. Have a look at it here. It's all about Jewish musicians. It's unbelievable. What a beautiful book this. I sincerely appreciate it. So as we said...
But this is on the picture is Kiddush.
Yes.
And Kiddush. Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Bokeh. Okay, that's a tune.
It's a tune.
You know, when you hear Vayihi Erev, what do I think? Already Kiddush.
Do you know that Chazonus goes back hundreds of years because we took it from the temple services.
Mm. The Levi'im.
The Levi'im, that's where it goes back.
My genes.
Yes, you see.
I think I lost, I am a Levi, but I don't have the genes for
but
singing.
But you see, the reason being, they could then, everybody could participate in the service.
Yes.
They were heard the Levim singing. You go to a shul, okay, there's chazonim and choirs, but if you don't have it, still everybody sings
everybody
together.
Everybody can sing. Yep.
Everybody, and everybody knows the tunes.
Yes.
There are different tunes, for, you know, one thing and another, but everybody sings.
Yes.
That is the way to express yourself.
So I think in our shuls with our choirs, which is, I think is... It's played its historic part. But if you go to a shtibl now, I think one of the major attractions is you don't have to be up there in the choir. You can all sing along.
All sing along.
Even if you don't have a great voice. And that is beautiful, especially the coming up. Chanukah has halal. And when you've got a chazan who's leading the congregation with a magnificent halal, especially on Sukkot, you know, the Hodu Kitovs with the other menin. But when the halal is to me so uplifting, and there's so many different tunes to it.
Right.
And also Kabbalat Shabbat, which will be in a few hours now, is the Kolobach, kind of where you sing all those Tehillim at the beginning of Kabbalat Shabbat. Right. It's uplifting. What a difference. You get out of your secular day, and now you're into Shabbos. Ha? Through song.
Right.
L'chaid Rodi, the most famous one. Is like a it's like a boundary between secular day and Shabbat.
You mentioned we're going to close off in a few moments, but you mentioned a song. You take a chuppah and they sing Boi Chalav, Boi Kala. Remember, I sent you the other day, and I told the listeners that beautiful one sung by this Yossi Arizalo with this little Italian boy singing O Sole Mia. It was absolutely superb, but to the tune of L'Chodo Di, it's unbelievable. So just to remind you, by the way, that we do have the Art of the Cantor on Sunday, and it's a very special one because I'm going to play Chazan Shalom Katz singing Tehillim. As I mentioned on Tuesday, Tehillim has saved so many lives. When people are ill, we all come around the bedside or at your home and you say Tehillim. So very, very, very special recordings. And talk of the town between 9 and 10 on Tuesday night, the first night of Chanukah. And I've got a guest coming in on Tuesday. We'll talk all about the candle lighting at the various places in Sant and at Kosher World, etc. And so just to thank Craig for controlling, to wish you, Jonathan, a wonderful Shabbat. Enjoy the rest of the week and enjoy the latkes and the donuts.
It was a most enlightening session. All about light. Shabbat shalom to our listeners, and please go, we'll be back next Friday.
And don't forget that you can listen to this program Sunday morning just after 9 a.m.